You're listening to the Wanderlust Swingers podcast with Aussie hosts Kate and Daryl. If you're curious about exploring your sexuality or the swinging, hot wifing and non-monogamous lifestyle, you've definitely come to the right podcast. Or maybe you just love travel adventures. Either way, we share our personal, sometimes juicy, sexy stories as well as swingers club and event reviews, interviews with other sassy people and of course our global swinging adventures. We try to bring you a look into the diverse lifestyle that the swinging and non-monogamous community has. We hope you enjoy. Now let's get into the episode. G'day guys and welcome back. This is episode 146. This is Q&A questions quickie volume 2.
When was volume 1?
It was recently. I remember when we decided that it actually wasn't a quickie indeed because we had like a 50 minute podcast. So that's not the intention today. We're going to answer some of the questions that we recently received. And we're going to talk
quickly, apparently.
Quickly on the swinging lifestyle. But first, I'm doing very well with speaking this morning. First, we're going to do our cultural tidbit, and this is our first for the Netherlands. Can I get a little jingle, please?
Netherlands.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Has Gelderland in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da.
Cool. So, cultural tidbit for the Netherlands. This one is.
By the way.
Yeah.
Did that without any practice.
Really?
Yeah, it's a surprise for everyone.
Do you
everyone.
Want me to put a little jingle on top of it on the episode when it comes out so it sounds amazing? And
what do you mean?
The post-production quality
why
is...
Why did you say that it would then sound amazing? Yeah. Just me and the crickets.
Just you and the crickets. Cultural tidbit for the Netherlands. This is our first one. Sex education in the Netherlands starts at the ripe old age of 4 during kindergarten.
Yeah. Good news.
They learn about the need for respect towards your partner while also learning about the more technical aspects of sex life. A wide range of topics are covered in Dutch sex ed, from gender identity to boys being encouraged to embrace their feelings. Girls are also learn how to make their own choices about sexuality. Badum.
Why badum?
I don't know. I just think that's great.
Yeah, badum kind of minimizes it.
Okay. Tra-la?
No. Tra-la, still bad.
Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping people.
With their sexuality.
With their sexuality.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well done, guys.
Maybe we should go back to to the 4-year-old to have another crack at it.
Have another go.
We might understand more about it.
Maybe we will.
Probably.
So what's news with us? Obviously, we moved to the Netherlands. This is our first podcast in our Airbnb apartment. We've been here for what? Two weeks?
2 weeks as of today.
It's exactly 2 weeks as of today. 14 days. How you feel about it?
About what? The Netherlands? The Airbnb? Or hanging out here on the podcast with you?
Oh, a combination of them, really. I mean, where do you want that question to take you, Daryl? It's a question you should be asking yourself.
I mean, what do I think? I think it's busy. That's what I think because I've been busy since we got here. So I don't know what else to tell you.
Smashing.
Netherlands is it's nice. We're trying to keep up with the quota of the amount of cheese we need to eat on a monthly basis to be considered a local. I'm not sure how we're going with that. I mean, 1.2 kilograms. What's that like? 2.2 pounds. That's a lot of cheese per person per month. That's
Penny's not really keeping up with her side of the cheese. Do we have to factor in hers and then we have to take that responsibility?
I think she's a pound per pound. She's actually eating more cheese than you are.
Right. So first podcast in the Airbnb apartment.
Do you think Airbnb apartment is like saying
ATM machine or PIN number?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it kind of is, right?
Could be an Airbnb house.
Yeah,
could
but
be
it's
an
still,
Airbnb boat, Airbnb
yeah, but it's
loft.
Still kind of like the Airbnb bit
could
kind
be
of describes all of those.
Airbnb shut your face hole.
By the way, where the fuck's my breakfast every day?
What do you mean every day?
Well, Airbnb, bread and bed and breakfast.
Well, clearly that's not happening.
Yeah, I know.
We did get some mandarins when we arrived though, so I thought that was quite delightful.
Yeah, but no breakfast.
And wine.
But no breakfast.
Yeah, so April 1st, we're heading up to our first party. We're going to Amsterdam to attend a party with the Secret Underground.
Oh, yeah?
Secret Underground EU.
It's underground, is it?
Apparently.
Okay.
They have a website and everything, so it can't be too much underground. And actually, speaking of April 1st, it is the 30 days, hashtag 30 days of lingerie. So if you guys are interested in being part of that, head over to Twitter, check the show notes actually, and you will be able to join us for 30 days of lingerie. And we're off to London in April as well. We're going to the Vanilla Alternative with the Bedhoppers podcast and their event. So excited for those. That's coming up in April.
Cool.
I'm excited. Once we get settled here and get into like a full-time apartment house situation, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about April, actually. How do you feel about April, just generally?
Well, I mean, I don't know too many Aprils. She's like, I haven't had a lot of Aprils in my life.
It's a dad joke, but I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, that's because you're basically a mum. Furry little baby running around under the table, chewing on duck breast.
Right, so let's get into the topic of the day, which is Q&A questions. Quickie Q&A questions. Swinger. Hotel room type. We're heading to a 3-day hotel takeover. What room type should we get?
Get the worst one. Cheapest one, definitely. Always.
Get the cheapest one?
Yep.
Single bed, double bed.
What do you mean single bed? So you've got to stack everyone on top of each other.
Sorry. One bed or two beds. Where are you at with that question now? Because we've bounced backwards and forwards over the years with that.
No, we haven't.
Okay, where are you with it?
We have never bounced backward and forward.
Okay.
I don't see the need for the second bed. I mean, yeah, I think there's got to be some level of politeness if somebody's going to, you know, make a mess of the bed that they might give you a warning.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agree.
I mean, it's considered, I would imagine by most women, quite rude for a man to just come in their mouth without any conversation.
Or all over the bed and the sheets and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. I would say also, like, if you're looking at the size, say the size of the room's like 30 square meters and you've got one bed and then 30 square meters and there's two beds, like, for me, I just rather the space, right?
Yeah.
To host people in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. I like to go the cheapest room and I like to get one bed.
That's me. You don't go the cheapest room.
We have a Desire every single time we've been there.
That's because Desire's fucking expensive. You can't warrant the difference in price.
It is expensive. Next question. How much is too much alcohol? We've met couples that don't drink any alcohol at all, and then we've met couples that get way sloppy drunk. What is your opinion?
Well, if you can't give accurate consent, then that's the limit. I mean, if somebody can't consent appropriately and that you feel confident in their consent, then they're too drunk.
Yeah.
So
it's we refer to it as unduly intoxicated is one of the things that we actually use, right?
No, we don't use it. The Australian government uses it to describe intoxication and when you should stop serving alcohol to people.
That's what I'm saying.
Responsible service of alcohol. Yeah, but we're not serving, but if they're unduly intoxicated, yes.
Yeah.
Which means if they're rowdy or overly rowdy or they want to start a fight or, you know, they're just not
They're passing happy, out.
They're passing out. They're not happy drunk. Then that's unduly intoxicated.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on the consent factor. Like if you all of a sudden, you're meeting this person when they're sober and they're like, I don't do anal, for example, and then they have a few drinks and they're like, fuck yeah, bring all the dicks.
Bring all the dicks to my arsehole.
Bring all the dicks to my arsehole. That person then I think would be like, probably a little bit too intoxicated to be making those decisions. That's what's too much alcohol.
Why does anal come up?
I don't know.
It could be anything, though.
I know it could be. I was just trying to use that as an example.
Yeah, but it's a pretty extreme example. I mean, it could be, I don't wish to kiss you and now I am going to.
Yeah, or it could be soft swap to full swap. Or
that should be a good point to stop, you know, if you've been drinking and you're concerned about what they're doing and then immediately one of them bends a rule, then done.
Or stop, I think, it. Even yourself, like if you all of a sudden realize that you're kind of throwing care to the wind, then that should be a pretty good indication that you yourself are
absolutely
drunk.
And you know, the main way of telling that that's the case is that there is no way, because you'll just continue because you're already drunk enough to not give a fuck. So the little voice in your head is already a slurred
passed
voice.
Out on the couch anyway.
So yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The devil on the shoulder always outdrinks the angel on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. He's a fucking legend drinker.
Legend drinker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's a he. He kind of looks like a he. I can't really tell, though.
You don't know.
Devil on the shoulder. He wears a cape. I mean, women wear capes as well, so.
People can wear.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm. Hey, beard smells like pussy.
Yes.
When you do the lifestyle, we met up with a couple. After going down on both women, I realized that my beard had a whiff of pussy to it. As the night went on, the smell intensified. Wondering if it's usually expected due to the activities we engage in, or should I perhaps run and wash my face? Hey, beard-smelling pussy dude, wash your fucking face, mate. I don't know if this is even a question. I appreciate the question, but come on.
Jeez, you're going hard at him. Fucking hell.
Okay, here's my reasoning, and it's not just the smell. It's everything else that's included in that. I have a very, very sensitive pussy, and my pH levels and everything else, and quite frankly, I'm a little bit concerned by the fact that it's that smelly, which means it contains lots of stuff, that you're then putting that beard all over my pussy and possibly...
I think you're beardemic fucking, you know, angry at the moment.
No, man. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not.
Do you know what the real concern here that this gentleman should take? I mean, yes, wash your face.
What's the concern?
Wash your beard. Beards aren't inherently dirty. Like, I think you feel like they are.
No.
Fucking lies.
Come on. What's your, my beard smells like pussy. Should I wash my beard?
I think.
Give your face a bit of scrub up.
The surface area of a beard intensifies the potential for exchange of bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
Which, exchanging bodily fluids is the thing that can, of course, transmit disease.
Yep.
So I think it's more of a focus on making sure that your partners, as you know, how many of them there are, don't end up with something carried over from your beard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, I could imagine over the night, the intense smell of pussy would become quite overwhelming.
So what do you recommend for this guy? Some kind of flushable face wipe, some sort of like the body wipes that I use, like the vag pussy cleanup wipes that I use. Like, what do you recommend this guy takes? Goes into the bathroom, gives it a bit of a scrub up with some soap. What's your recommendation on the fly?
I'd reckon just a little water might do the trick.
Just some water.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah, I mean, fucking hell.
When did they invent wheels in your era?
You know, the thing that I've found is that water is generally freely available and it flows straight out of a fucking tap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas all the flushable face wipes and pussy wipes and all that sort of shit, you have to bring them with you, one. Two, it's a fucking beard.
Yeah.
You'd need 20 of the fucking things to clean that bad boy up.
You reckon?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Should we do some sort of trial here? Like, I feel like getting somebody with a beard
I'll grow a beard for
you. No. That's not the direction this podcast is going in.
Grew a beard.
Get somebody with a beard and maybe put, like, I don't know, glitter in their beard and then use a variety of, like,
why glitter?
Like, wipes and stuff and see how.
No, you just use some UV stuff, put it on his beard and then get him to, you know, go and play as he normally would, then shine UV light on things and be just
to see where it ends up.
Yeah, be fucking everywhere. Be on people's faces, up their noses, on their necks,
right,
tits, nipples,
if
pussies.
If you have a beard and
if you chow an ass, it'd be pretty much everywhere.
Holy shit. If you have a beard and you have a cleaning protocol with your beard, please drop us an email at wanderlustswingers.com. I really want to hear from you. I want to know what you're doing. Are you going old school with some water and a tap?
I'm more interested in how the fuck you get glitter out of a beard.
Or if you've had glitter in your beard before.
Uni beard.
What do they call it? Scripper herpes or something like that? The joke?
It's stripper herpes, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say scripper?
Yeah, I said scripper. That's what all the cool kids say these days.
Well, then why are you saying it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Moving on. So, yes, stripper herpes is what it's known as, which is, I think, a terrible thing to say.
It is, but it's, you know, it's a joke. It's not.
Yeah, but jokes can still be hurtful.
They can be hurtful. Like, why did the rabbit cross the road? Because it died. Like to hear from you guys.
Wow.
Beard. Right. Next one. The wife said, I'll be more attracted to you when you lose weight. I'm 170 centimeters tall and I weigh 82 kilos. I'm in my early 40s and I'm not sure how I feel about my wife telling me this. What are your thoughts?
I'm just doing a rough calculation on the BMI there and I would have thought that he's well within normal weight range.
170, so he's about my height,
yeah.
And 82 kilos.
Yeah, okay. So so you may just be tippling over into I mean, I think it's fairly harshly delivered if that's how it was delivered.
Yeah, I was going to say he's saying I'm heartbroken and I feel like shit. And I would agree, like if it was, quote, I'd be more attracted to you when you lose weight. Like,
how's that any fucking different? Neither of those are things that you can deliver without crushing somebody's soul.
Well, I think because over the years, you know, you and I have said to each other, hey, you're getting a bit tubby, like we need to do something about this. In fact,
see the difference there? We need to do.
That's what I'm saying. So in this delivery method of this person.
The delivery would be, hey, let's you and I spend some more time at the gym or some more time out exercising, walking.
Let's go a walk around the lake.
It's only when all of that fails that you get to the point of saying, hey, you're getting a little tubby. It's time to do something about it.
Which you said recently to me. So
I did not say that recently to you.
What did you say?
For starters, the word tubby is something that has never slipped into my vocabulary.
Maybe it should a little bit more.
Why? Do you think tubby's somehow softer than fat cunt?
Yeah, I do actually. I think if we took a poll just generally on the delivery method of tubby versus fat cunt, how would you deliver it?
I would say in general, when one person in the couple's putting on weight, the other is as well. Because in my experience, it's usually both people, it's rare to find somebody who's unusually fit in a couple that is a long-term couple.
Yeah, so you're saying like a really unbalanced, like somebody's a gym bunny and the other person is like a...
Reasonably rare.
Yeah.
It's not unheard of, please understand, but in my experience, it's reasonably rare. So with that being the case, the vast majority of people fluctuate with their partner. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then, you know, you've got to do something as well to, as a partner who's feeling that things are not right, you've got to say, hey, we need to exercise more, or we need to go to the gym more, or we need to eat more appropriately. And only when it gets to the point that the other person, or we need to cut out drinking, it only when it gets to the point the other person is not responding to those polite cues, at some point, I mean, what's the other option? It's either, hey, look, I'm finding you less attractive because of the weight you're carrying, and this is not the person I married, or, hey, guess what? I've found that I don't want to be with you anymore because I've stuck around for 10 years after you've gained weight and you've not done anything about it, and I've not told you, but now I'm just going to dump you and leave.
Mm.
That's the alternative, right? I mean, it's either you break somebody's heart repairably by telling them that there's a problem with how their weight is at the moment, or you break their heart for good by telling them, I'm sorry, I can't stay with you anymore.
So there was an interesting discussion I had the other day on a swingers forum where people were talking about how the husband in the profile photos and stuff is really letting the team down, like basically how men let themselves go, don't take any responsibility, just basically that men are fucked. And I responded to it and I said, look, you're not wrong in terms of profiles probably could do better. But I said also, I think there's a responsibility of the partner. Like women generally tend to take more selfies. Men generally take more photos of their wives than wives might take of their partners. And so what I was saying is that at the end of the day, you're supposed to be a wing person for your partner, right, and help them. And one of the people responded with, well, he's a big fucking man, an adult, and he can do it himself. And I thought that was a bit interesting because I think in this scenario where one –
I think one of the things that's been totally forgotten out of this story, all of the things you're saying are right, but men don't have the same availability to things that help them look better. Okay, few examples.
Okay.
Push-up bras.
Mm-hmm.
Makeup.
Yep.
I mean,
men can wear makeup, but I understand what you're saying. Like, just generally ways to make yourself look better. I would say, again, like the angles and the use of selfies and stuff, like how women generally tend to...
Yeah, okay. So, hands up out there, and I'm interested in hearing this poll. How many women out there have received a cock shot and gone, oh, yeah, that's glorious. That's one of the best things I've ever seen. Let's reverse that. How many women or men out there have seen photos of vaginas sent to them and gone, wow, that's a very pretty vagina?
Yeah.
So I don't think men have the same capability to look as sexy as women to this. Now, let me clarify here. This is to the socially accepted standard of what beauty is in your region. And I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
Because in many cases that's, you know, a man with a fucking six-pack and, you know,
well,
rippling
that's what I was gonna say.
Abs and huge shoulders and all that sort of huge
not everybody's
arms.
Cup of tea. What I was going to say to you is I think what you're trying to say is that an average woman can look fine, but for an average man, you have to, if you want to be held up to this standard – to look at that same level as a woman in makeup with her hair done, nice clothes, all the rest of it, the man generally is expected to have even a nice body. Really, well, that's the equivalent, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, curvy is acceptable generally in women,
mm-hmm.
but generally not acceptable in men.
Yeah.
I mean, the dad bod has made a bit of a kickback in some regards, but I think it's still not as acceptable in terms of there's no variance in the men you see in underwear commercials.
Mm, it's pretty rare, yeah.
Whereas with women now,
mm-hmm.
there is a variance.
Yeah, even on the Victoria's Secret runway,
yep,
there's
you're seeing larger women, smaller women.
People with disabilities.
Yeah, different shapes, different heights, different all sorts of things. Now think about the men's version.
Yeah.
They're fucking the same.
Yeah.
They're all the same. So nothing's changed for men. So the idea of what a beautiful man looks like is unwavering from what it used to be.
And I think probably the expectations on that are difficult to manage.
Yeah, so it's really fucking hard for a man to look like what one might expect a man to look like.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, a little bit of thought about how their personality might be might not go astray as well, which is what, again, the expectation should be. But if you're just looking for somebody who you find attractive, then and they need to be equivalized to the woman beside them, then, I mean, there's probably a few other questions you need to ask yourself there.
So my question, I've got two questions for you then. So in this case where the guy has said he's heartbroken and feels like shit, what advice do you have for this guy? But then my second question is for people out there whose partner may have gained weight, or maybe it's not even that they've gained weight recently, but maybe it's just that they have always been that way and now people are joining the lifestyle and do want to feel a little bit better about their health and stuff like that. What would you tell them how to deliver that to their partner?
Four questions in there and I've forgotten the first one.
Okay, my first one is what would you say to this guy who said, I'm heartbroken, I feel like shit, my wife said, I'll be more attracted to you when you lose weight. What advice have you got for him?
Well, the first thing I can say is that I don't only empathise with this, I understand it entirely because I've had that read to me verbatim in the past. It's not a good sensation, absolutely not. But, I mean, it takes a little while to adjust to the fact that somebody might be telling you this for more than one reason. It may not only be the fact that they're finding you less attractive, but, you know, if they're truly your partner, then they care about you. Not only the way you look, but they care about your relationship and they also care about your health. So I think there's a lot of stuff that's intertwined in that because people get angry and they say things that are very short and very punctual to try and wake people up. So I don't think, even though as long as this person cares for you, which I'm going to assume they do, they delivered it in a way that was actually with positive intent. It may not feel like that, but that's how it was. That's the intent that you have to assume mm-hmm. your partner has when they deliver something that even something that hurts.
Yeah.
They're delivering it because of positive intent. So with that in mind, the choice becomes yours. And it doesn't matter which way you go because it is your choice. The choice is, do you, one, take it on board and make a change because you see that they may have some correctness to their conversation.
There's merit in the conversation, yeah.
Or do you ignore it and deal with the ramifications of that? Again, it's entirely up to you. You can ignore it and deal with the ramifications of it, and the ramifications may be stark and they may be forever, or you can deal with it and start doing something about it, and the ramifications to that will also be stark and long-lasting. They may actually be positive. They may be negative. It just depends on – but yeah, the hurt sucks. I know personally the hurt sucks a lot, but – you have to assume that there's some positive intent to your partner putting that forward.
And then what would you say to people out there listening who do want to say to their partner that they would like them to be a little bit more health focused and then basically look physically look better?
Health focused is one thing, but physically looking better is a totally different. One is purely about the physical. The other one is about the care.
Okay, physical then.
It depends. I mean, it depends on where you started. It depends on the assumed agreement.
Does it though? Like, say, I understand what you're saying. You married a size 6, that person's now a size 14. You're like, hold on a second. I understand what you're saying, but I think even if you have always been a size 14 or whatever, and then you join the lifestyle, or you get to a certain age or whatever, and you want to turn your life around and go, you know what, I'm not happy with that.
That's okay for you to make that personal decision for yourself.
But you're saying you can't
make that fucking decision for somebody else.
Okay.
You can't.
So you're saying the only time you can really talk to somebody about their weight is when they start from they've gained weight, essentially.
No, I'm saying that there's been a change in weight that you feel is inappropriate, including lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that discussion in the past as well when somebody I'm with has lost way too much weight and I've asked them to stop doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to voice your concern and opinion.
That's what I'm asking you. How do you do that?
You have to do it as politely as possible, but you do it. If you need to do it, if it's something that's affecting you personally, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's work or at home, you've got to talk about it. If you don't talk about it, it doesn't fucking change. Or you don't grow to if you are delivered that message that your partner wishes you to lose weight or gain weight to just look more attractive in their eyes, and you choose not to use that, or you tell your partner, hey, I'm not willing to do that because I'm happy the way I am. Your partner then has the decision to make. Mm-hmm. Are they okay with the fact that they're going to stay with somebody who's happy the way they are, or are they going to have to change their own perspective of how beauty is? You've got to deliver the message though. You can't live a life of fucking lies.
Okay. Yep.
And by the same token, you can absolutely choose to take it on board or tell them to fuck off. I mean, it's entirely your decision.
Right.
What's your opinion on it? I mean, you just kept blasting me with the questions there.
Yeah, I did, because I wanted to know what your thoughts on the answers were. I think you should have a discussion with somebody. I think that you can probably do it in a manner that is a little bit nicer. Like you said before, hey, we've got to get out and maybe go for an activity, or it might start with you trying to make sure that, you know, there's some healthier options for eating and stuff at home. But that's why I kind of went on a tangent before about this lady that was saying, well, fuck them, they're an adult, their responsibility, like I'm not their mum. I thought that was a very, very, I didn't think that was a relationship standpoint. To me, I'm like, you've got to be, I understand what you're saying. You can't take on 100% of the responsibility for another individual. And I'm not saying that you should, but I think that you should be a wing person for your partner. If your partner is legitimately struggling, and that could be with anything like quitting smoking, quitting drinking, getting out and walking a little bit more, it could be about mental health, you should be a wing person for them and try to help where possible. So,
well, if you care about them, you should, but that doesn't mean that you will be.
No. So that's my thoughts on the matter. I think that you could try to do little things where maybe you are helping a little bit with cooking or preparation of food or things like that, or maybe you are looking at activities outside of the house and saying, hey, there's this, I don't know, fucking 5K walk around the lake that, you know, there's like an activity that's planned, a run that's planned or whatever. Like, I've signed us up. I'm really excited. Let's get out and do this together. We'll get a medal. Something like that, that is an easier way to deliver it than just
you're a fat cunt.
You're a fat cunt and I don't want to have sex with you anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you ready for this story?
Oh, the story's coming now, is it?
Yeah, this is from.
Glad this is a short one.
This is from snowboard couple Jay. So, slut shamed for kissing a girl, am I the asshole? So they were at an event and basically him and a bunch of other people and his wife were all on the dance floor. They were flirting, making out, chit-chatting, etc. A very pretty girl started grinding on him and then he started making out with this girl. So this kind of happened, you're making out, you're having a good time, this is at an event, whatever.
Can we check, is this a non-monogamous relationship?
This is a non-monogamous okay. relationship.
And yeah. ethically non-monogamous.
An ethically right. non-monogamous okay, relationship. So the wife's on the dance floor, they're all having a good time, whatever.
Seems to be an important part of the story.
Yeah. And then he started dancing with this lady who is about 15 years older than him. And he'd already had some small talk with this lady earlier in the evening and then starting to dance with her. He compliments her on her outfit and she said, where's your girlfriend? And he said, which one? And she said, the one you were just kissing. And he responded with, I don't know who she is. She's a great kisser though. Basically, the crux of it is that this lady then turned around and said, you're quite the player. Us ladies aren't stupid. We watch everything and she just made out with like five of different guys. So she's talking about this other non-monogamous lady, not the wife. And this could have been a great night for you. So essentially what's happening here is that this lady who's like 15, 20 years older than him, who he thought was actually quite attractive and gave her compliments, is now saying that basically we've been doing this for 20 years. You guys are like puppies running around. Like if you want women like me to respect you, you got to treat us like queens. Every other girl here hates that girl that you were just kissing and you totally blew it tonight. And he's asking, am I the asshole? What's your thoughts?
Well, my response would have been cool story, bro. Thanks for making me aware that you're a bunch of judgy cunts.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
So he basically said that he can understand her perspective, that she might be turned off from me hitting on her so casually and then also hitting on other people being a bit more flirtatious or whatever.
Yeah, but she's being a judgy bitch, so fuck her.
Yeah. So that's what you think?
Yeah, I mean, sorry. Sorry that I managed to offend you from a distance. Just fucking hell. Yeah. No, thanks.
Yeah.
Tell your story walking.
So it was interesting when I was first looking at this and I was actually talking to snowboard couple about this situation, because initially I can sympathize with where this lady's coming from. And I can tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from a place of envy and jealousy, because she is maybe thought that there was a connection with this particular person. And then when this person goes off and is spending time dedicated to other people, she has felt wronged, right? However, this is not your primary partner. This is a non-monogamous event at a club where you don't own this other individual. So I think putting your own jealousy and concerns on this other individual, I would say, am I the asshole? No, you're not. I think she is. And I think the information of like all the other women here hate that lady, I think is, yeah, ridiculous as well, because what's that got to do with the price of bread? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just ridiculous from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're going to police who I'm – yeah, this is not, sorry, I'm in no relationship with you. Please toddle off.
Yeah.
And go talk to somebody who gives a fuck.
Everybody's in their rights to say, I don't want to now sleep with you because I just found out you slept with 30 other people, or I found out you slept with that other person. Like, everyone's in their right to say that. But it doesn't,
of course,
it doesn't mean I have to give a shit about it.
Sorry, the thing that I find most amusing here is that she's offered third party reference to all the other women in the club who hate this woman. Fuck, really? I mean, what grade are we in?
Yeah.
Is this grade fucking grade 10 where we're running around going, I want to know if you're hooking up with Benny, because if you are, I don't think that I want to kiss you anymore.
But Benny's a better kisser than you because
I didn't say Penny. That's weird.
I said Benny.
Okay. Well, you're going to need to pronounce your B's better because it sounded like Penny and that's our dog.
Okay, fine. Timothy.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, it's like, yeah, I couldn't stand for it. I didn't stand well for it in fucking year 10, and I'm not as a grown-up.
Well, he's saying he felt bad because she seemed to feel disrespected by his casual flirty behaviour.
I feel like you should have flipped her the double birds and backed off into the mist. I mean, big move, don't get me wrong, bold.
Bold.
Bold move. But if you could fucking pull it off, do it. Double birds into the mist, like Homer Simpson into the fucking hedge.
So just get like a smoke bomb.
Just looking her in her eyes as you double bird her and back away.
This is where smoke bombs come in handy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know, but they're also explosive. Yeah, I mean, you just need a magic hedge that appears behind you every time you want to double bird someone and back into it. Mm-hmm.
So you would give her, you would say figuratively, just give her.
Yeah, I'd actually, I mean, the double bird sounds amazing, but it's not something I'd ever do.
What would you do? What would you do if you were in this scenario?
Thank you very much for the input, and I'm sorry that I've upset you, but so be it.
Have a great day.
Have a good night. And then I would have immediately danced my way backward, smiling and looking at her, and then I would have done the quick heel, ball of toes, quick turn, bam.
Bam.
Yeah.
180, boom.
And then just fucking out of there.
And then like maybe then a bit of arse shake.
Wiggled my little ass as I walked away.
I think this is, for me, it's inappropriate.
And then smoke bomb.
You're at an event, a club, whatever. Having a good time.
It doesn't matter where it is, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, it's just inappropriate. It doesn't fucking matter where you are. Oh, you kissed somebody else, so I don't want to kiss you anymore. Fine, fucking don't. There's no need for you to tell me about it.
You know, it's actually, I would almost relate it. It's just silly. It's coming from a place of without scarcity. I do want to mention that Ash actually was talking to Snowboard Couple about this, and I want to quote this line because I actually think this is a fucking funny line. She sounds like a jealous fun sponge.
Mm, fun sponge.
Don't you love that?
Yeah, I mean, there's two types of fun sponge though.
Fun sponge? Jealous fun sponge. Thanks, Ash.
There's also, but there's also the anti-pregnancy type of fun sponge that goes, you know.
Yeah, I only know about them from Seinfeld when I was in high school. Hey, that's it. That's it for the question.
You're talking about diaphragms, not fun sponges.
No, there was like a sponge episode. I remember it because I was like younger and I was like, I was using tampons and I was like, what's a sponge? I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's all. That's cool. My story.
Cool story, bro.
I'm just going to throw it out there and say it. We've got a clothing optional pool hotel takeover coming up in Miami. We've only got 20 rooms left. And if this sounds like your tribe, your people, you wanting to have some fun for 3 nights, 4 days in the sun, come and join us May 31st to the 3rd of June. We got a thing, a casual swinger, expansive connection. We've got the hump day quickies and we have that hot couple in GA. So 3 nights, 4 days of fun in the sun for our Swingers Hotel Takeover in Miami. This is the last time we're hitting this location. So come and join us. We would absolutely love to see you. I just announced the themes inside of our community and they are going to be banging. We've also got the Casual Toys Luxury Playroom in the penthouse that's coming back for 2024. It is definitely a sight to be seen. So if you're all about having a party but making connections with genuine community, come and join us in Miami. Head to libertineevents.com and find your way to the Miami event. So 20 rooms left. We'd love to see you guys come and party. Hang out with us this May, June in Miami Beach. Okay, Daryl, are you ready for some Patreon shout-outs? And I want some Aussie names for these people.
Oh, man.
I will accept nothing less than Aussie.
Not under the pump at all.
Aussie names.
Okay.
As
long as it's not fucking Bestiality 123 or something like that, it's going to be hard for me to get it, out an Aussie name for that.
Beasto! Also, Bestiality is not funny at all. The first ones actually should be quite easy for you, considering they are, in fact, indeed, Aussies.
Well, no. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Samantha and Damien.
Sam and Damo.
Sam and Damo.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you can't get much further than Sam.
I would go Sammy for a girl.
Oh, Sammy might.
Would you use an I or a Y though? Like
it's
how,
an I, of course.
How cool.
It's an I.
How cool are you?
If you're shortening Samantha to Sammy,
with an I,
it's an I.
With a love heart over the I?
Of course. Of course. Do you draw it?
That's how you do it.
Who draws an I any other way?
Fucking lawyers and that's about it.
Doctors.
Doctors and lawyers. So lame. Not true. Thanks if you're a doctor and lawyer. Peter?
Oh, shit. I'm not sure I can say this one.
Why?
Because it depends on how well you know Peter. Because he'd end up at something like Pedo.
You can't just keep adding O's to everything.
No,
man.
But I think you're missing the point here. This would become, from Pedo, would become the long distance of Pedo, and then it would come back to Pedo.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because...
What about Poiter?
No, fuck no. We're not some stupid fucking arrow shooting shit in the woods.
Okay.
Poiter. Fucking hell.
Ray?
Depends on what his surname is.
Ray?
Nah. Might be Ray John? Or...
Hey, Jack? These ones are really small, so this is interesting. Jack. You don't get an Aussie name, Jack. David. Davo.
It'd be Davo, of course.
Has to be.
David's always Davo.
Tyler? Mm.
Sorry.
You don't have one?
No, that's just because Tyler's a tough name, you know.
It is a tough name.
So you just say sorry.
Okay. John?
Or I mean, if he's... No. I feel like Tyler's a redhead, so he's going to be called Blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
John?
Come on.
Has to be Jono.
It's Jono.
Has to be Jono every time.
Jono.
There's certain Australian names like Dave or David, Davo, John, Jono. Like it's just how it goes.
Yeah, I mean that's a list of names that are very short.
Yeah.
So there's always a lengthening component.
Okay. I got one more.
Yeah.
Wes.
Wesley.
Wesley. That's not an Aussie name. Come on, man. You wouldn't say like Wesa.
No. No, because that's not an Australian thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
No, you'd call him Wizza.
Wizza. Right. Hey, so that again is Samantha and Damien, Peter, Ray, Jack, David, Tyler, John, Wes. Thank you very much for joining our Patreon.
Hey, and also thank you for having some of the hardest fucking names ever pronounced in Australian.
Hashtag do better, patrons. I'm just joking. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. One last shout out for the episode is a...
See you, Wizza and Blue.
See you, Blue. Is a, we got a podcast, podcast five stars from Cowboy and Muffin. Lifestyle from a global perspective. Great content, a must listen if you're in the lifestyle or like sex positive information. Daryl, and they spelt your name correctly, is fun to listen
to. About fucking time.
And Kate is super informative and smoking hot. That's the only reason I read the review. Just wanted to give myself some little fucking proper-y doodahs.
Okay, then. who was it again?
Cowboy and Muffin.
Just thank you for actually including me in the review.
Well, you're
in a positive way.
You'll actually meet them in PCAP in June, actually.
Okay.
So there you go. If you guys would like to email us, you can send an email to email@wanderlustswingers.com, and wanderlust is spelt with an A. That is how you spell wanderlust, not with a bloody O. So drop your emails to us, leave us a review, and we will speak to you again very, very soon. We've got some episodes coming up, including sex stories, two truths and a lie.
Isn't it two lies and a truth we're going to do?
Sorry, yes. Sex stories, two lies and a truth.
Because
flawless.
We can't come up with two truths and a lie.
Because we can't come up. So it's been great just to hang out with you guys. And
I can come up whenever I need to.
Go.
If you want it to happen, it's going to happen.
Right, guys, and that's been episode 146, the Q&A quickie. We'll chat to you guys soon. Bye.
Ciao.